have a message for us today from a throne room of God. I believe with all of my heart. I'm not just saying that. A lot of stuff going on right now, but we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Are you ready to receive the Word of God?
Amen.
Are you really ready to receive the Word of God?
Amen.
We are in critical times, but never has there been any greater times for the child of God.
Amen.
Never has there been any greater time for the child of God. Luke chapter 22, begin at verse 39. And he came out, and he went as he would not, as he would, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, speaking to his disciples, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And as he withdrawn from about a stone's cast or stone's throw away, he knelt down and began to pray, Jesus did, saying, Father, if thy will, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And there appeared angels unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And began in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as with great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for your people. I pray that you'll speak to heart. Let conviction fall upon our lives, Lord. And let us be hearers and doers of the word, and not just simply listening. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, will come over this place, and your name will be lifted up and glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we usually use around Easter time or Palm Sunday. But the Lord began to speak to my heart concerning this passage of Scripture, concerning the Scripture. I want to title this message this morning, We've Lost Our Will. We've lost our will. As we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus spoke to his Heavenly Father and said, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, he knew what was ahead of him. He was preparing. They said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But if it's not possible and I need to fulfill this plan for the destiny of your people, Father God, your will be done and not mine. Let your will be done in my life and not my will be, because I'm fixing to exit here. I'm fixing to get out, but I want your will in my life. He began to agonize in prayer earnestly. When he rose, he went to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And now the disciples usually get a bad rap. And I've even preached from the thought of, are we sleeping with the disciples or are we praying with Jesus? But I begin to examine and look a little closer. And I want you to follow me here. And I want you to understand. It says, and when he arose from his prayer, he went to his disciples and found them sleeping. I miss the last two words. For sorrow. Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. He told them that they was coming to take him away and that he would leave them for a while. They was astonished. They was absolutely beside themselves. They could not understand what was happening and what was going on. One translation, as a matter of fact, the Amplified Version said he found them sleeping with grief. He found them sleeping with grief. He found them sleeping with sorrow. They was overtaken. They was actually, if I could use a clinical term, they was depressed. You say, man, that sounds pretty out there, Pastor. They was depressed. Disciples of Jesus Christ was depressed. Hey, within the next 24 hours or so, they're going to deny him. Every one of them is going to deny him and leave him. Yeah, they was depressed. And do you realize when people become depressed, what do? Most of the time, they sleep. Come on, somebody, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. When people are depressed, the greatest thing that they want to do is they want to sleep away the sorrow. How many's ever heard of somebody say, I just wished I could go to sleep and sleep through whatever's going on and wake up when it's all over? It's exactly where the church is today. We think if we stick our head in the sand or we go to sleep, it's all going to be over. But I'm here to tell you today, God has given you a commission to fight.
Yes.
And we're to fight the good fight of faith. But it's a warfare.
Yes.
It's not a recreation room. It's not a time to play games. It's a warfare, and it's time to get serious. The disciples, hey, I'm just getting started here, so hang with me. The disciples were depressed. They was trying to sleep it off, and Jesus said, what in the world are you doing sleeping? And he told them, get up. Lest you fall into temptation. When we're depressed, we are most vulnerable to Satan's tactics. I know I'm throwing a little bit of psychology stuff in here, but it's all right because I can't even spell the word. So you stay with me, okay? So we understand that when we're in that situation and we're in that place, we become most vulnerable and we become lethargic. We fall asleep. We're not alert. And the Bible tells us in several places to be alert, to be awake, to be aware. The enemy is out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to steal. He's out to take you out. But God said that I will give you the power. I will give you the strength. Listen to that verse of Scripture. He said when Christ prayed so earnestly, he sent an angel to strengthen him. He sent an angel to strengthen him.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, we are in a time where most of us, if we had our way, we'd like to sleep through this pandemic and wake up and everything be gone and back to normal. But I can tell you, things ain't going to go back to normal. I believe with all my heart, and listen, you can say what you want to, you can say and think what you believe, listen to whoever you want to, but this pandemic has been told more than once by high authorities and people in high places that we cannot waste a pandemic and we've got to get the best of it. And the greatest thing is to come against the church, to lull you back to sleep, to put you out of commission, to get you out of the way. But it's time that the church begin to make noise. And all of us has heard people say, and I'll try to get back on my notes here for just a minute, don't know how long I'll stay there, just preach with me, okay? Hey, Brother Chris got through with worship early, and I got a long time before you have to go to dinner, so. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've all heard people say that individuals that have fought illness for a long time, we've heard them say they lost their will. Come on, stay with me. People that's fought a long time, an illness, every one of us has said they have lost their will. So what does that actually mean, to lose one's will? It means that they have no more fight within them. The devil's second name is Brother Urkel. He wants to wear you down. He wants to take you out. Come on, it's okay. You understand what I'm talking about? He wants to... Urkel wants to wear Laura down and get her on his side. The enemy wants to wear you down and take you out. He wants to take the fight out of you. He wants to, when we get to that place, that weariness sets in, when we've lost our will. And my main focus today, church, is you finding God's will for your life. And He does have a will for you, and He wants you to fulfill that will, but we cannot do it while we're sleeping. We cannot do it while we're depressed. The enemy brings weariness and it has overtaken us. That's what it means. We have lost our will. We have no more fight. We're weary. It has overtaken us. And I've heard people say, I thought things would get better, but they haven't. I'll never forget the words of my dad just before just a day or two before he passed away, he looked at me and he said, "Son, I thought I'd beat this thing, but I guess I'm not." That has almost haunted me at times until I understand and realize that God is still in control. God is still in control. I'm here to tell you that there's a better day coming. There's a better life. And even though the cancer may have defeated my dad's body, the enemy could not take his soul. And though he was not healed in his life, he is totally clear of cancer and healed today. We don't always like the way God does things, but he always does things right. Hello? So we get to that place and depression sets in and we keep thinking, "Man, I thought things would get better. I thought we'd get through all of this," and it seems like it just keeps coming down, 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 and depression sets in, and we get to that place, we feel like there is no hope, there's no other place to go, we look at the situation, the circumstances, the disciples, and where we are today, and this is exactly what's happening in the spiritual realm of where we are right now. We become sleepy. We become depressed. We thought things would get better, especially over the last 5-6 months. And it seems like every time things look a little better, there's a little more pressure, there's a little more this, a little more that. But I'm here to tell you that they're coming against the church and the living God in which we serve, and we must be brave. We cannot back down. We must move forward, and we must let the devil know that we are on the winning side, and we've got to let people around us know that there's hope that we have in Jesus Christ. There's no greater time than right now to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell people that there is a hope beyond this life's weariness and this life's trouble and this life's trial. There is hope, and we need to be that hope to people and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is imperative, church. But we have come to a place that we have gotten so weary. Saints, I have never in all my years seen such times of people being so lethargic. When we need to be on alert and we need to be on guard and we need to be witnessing, we have gotten so tired and weary we can't seem to pull ourselves up by our shoelaces. We've lost hope. We're depressed. We don't have any more fight. Because of all this, we have lost our will of what God has for us. We've lost our will and we've forgotten His. We forgot it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about His will for our life. We like His promises as long as everything is going well with us. But we have a hard time grasping His promises when things are going south in our life. Do you really believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you really believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe God's Word is for you?
Yes.
It is for you. If there had been nobody else that accepted Jesus Christ but you, He would have wrote the Word, He would give you the inspiration, He would have touched you. And the passage of Scripture that we've quoted and seem to hang on to, but it's time that we turn loose and get it in us. We so many times we just want to hang on when we need to get it in us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." He's got a plan for you. May not be your plan, but we need to submit to His will. Come on. He's got a plan for us. Our circumstances, and can I tell you the reason we get weary, we get tired, we get anxious, and we get depressed is because God ain't doing it our way. God said, "I know the plans that I have for you," and He declares it. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. God, how in the world can you prosper us when we're in such a mess? Because God is the author of taking care of messes. He has plans to give you a hope and a future. I said he has plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. Sounds like it's time for a prayer meeting to me. And I will be found of you, declares the Lord. Can I tell you his promises are yes and amen. His promises are everlasting to everlasting. He has a perfect track record. And he said, I will bring you back from the captivity. I will get you cleared from all this junk. Listen, remember the people when they was in Egypt, when the children of Israel was in Egypt, and all the plagues was coming all over the people of Egypt. Where was they at? They were safe down in Goshen. All the land of Egypt was in plagues and different ones of them. And the people in Goshen was protected. Can I tell you today that we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And the God that I serve is able to protect you from those things that are around us. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Please do not take this as just another message of Pastor Mike just saying some words and turning red in the face and getting all excited. I'm here to tell you there's coming a day and it's just around the corner to where you're going to pray whether you really felt like it or not. You're going to pray. But can I tell you it's time to start praying now. Amen. There are two specific times in our lives when we fail to seek God's will. One of them is when we have lost our fight. The second one is when we want something so badly that we want our way and we can't even trust our own heart. Understand, not all decisions. Here's where Christians a lot of times get tripped up. We stumble and we fall and we get discombobulated because we're really trying to follow our will, not God's will. Are you ready? Not all decisions that we make are black and white. Not all decisions are good or bad. Sometimes things appear in front of us that are good. They are placed in our way, but they are not necessarily a part of God's plan for you. This is what our prayer should be, child of God. This is what our prayer should be. Lord, don't let my desires blind me from your will. But give me peace with whatever your plan is for my life. You want me to say that again so you can get it wrote down? Lord, don't let my desires blind me from your will, but give me the peace with whatever your plan is for my life. Here I am, Lord. I submit totally to you. God does know, church, what he's doing. He does know the plan that he has for your life. You can find in the Word that he has your life story written on the palm of his hand. He said his hand ain't big. Oh, don't underestimate God. His plan is written on the palm of your plan for your life is written on the palm of his hand. God does know what's best for you. And sometimes we just forget that. We spend so much time figuring out what God has for us because it's our will and our desires. It gets in the way. It overshadows God's purpose for our life. Hello? God's will for our life. We must seek God's will for our life. Brother James in chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, he said, but he giveth more grace. How many needs more grace? Some of you know, had known Sister Wade, Brother and Sister Wade, when they went to church here, and some of you wasn't blessed enough to meet them, but they was a very unique couple. That had been through a lot of things. In fact, he fought in World War II way down South Pacific. And her interpretation of that was, God, I need more grease. What does grease do? It makes things run smoother. Well, that's equivalent to God's grace. God, I need more grace. And we find right here that James is telling us that God's grace, He applies more. When you need it, He gives more. Don't underestimate the things of God, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Yes. David said, a broken and a contrite spirit God does not despise. Can I tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Word of God will get you out of every dilemma you've ever been in or ever going to be in. Verse 7, he said, submit yourself therefore to God. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. And as I was going over this passage of Scripture again, I thought to myself, a lot of people can be offended by that, saying, I'm really not a sinner. My hands are clean. I'm a good old boy. I'm saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I just give you a little tidbit today? At your very best, when you're sided with the things of God, you are a filthy sinner. Of the righteousness of God. I say with that with no disrespect, but I tell you today that the righteousness of God exceeds anything we can even imagine as good and perfect. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But oh, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that He sees. When He sees us, He doesn't see all of our mistakes, all of our fallibles, all of our junk. He just sees the blood of the Lamb that was applied. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God and He shall lift you up. How do we find that place in prayer? We find that place in prayer. Are you ready? I'm getting ready to preach to you. We generally, church, forget the submissive part of God's plan. We like to sing that song that was written a long time ago, and I can't even remember the guy that sung it now, but something about, I had it my way, or I'll do it my way. Some of you knew it right off. You know that better than you know the Scripture. We forget the submissive part of God's plan. You know why? Because becoming submissive to God is contrary to our will. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Is somebody going to shout with me tonight? All we want is to get rid of the devil and get him off of our back. How many times have you heard this in the last several weeks and months? I just want things to get back to normal. We run around listening for a direct revelation from God. This is where we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road, okay? We run around looking and listening to everybody that comes along and says they're a prophet, that they got a word, who are looking for a direct revelation from God. And oftentimes we hear so many voices, by the end of the day we're so confused and we ain't got a clue what God's saying. I know that's going to rub some of you the wrong way, because we've gotten accustomed to listening to everything and everybody that comes along. And I'm not saying that God does not do that. There is a lot of things that's good that we can listen to and we need to listen to. But when we actually fill our minds and our days 100% and we're listening to people, we don't have time to listen to God. I'm going to justify and clarify that here in just a second. We hear so many voices, and a lot of times none of them is from God for us. We just grab a hold of one of them that sounds best of what we want. Uh-oh. If
If you'll listen to enough people, and you'll listen to as many people as you want to, sooner or later you'll find exactly what you want them to say to you. Do you understand that most of the time when we really want God's will, when we really are in the center of God's will, it's when we quit listening to everybody else and we listen to God. Here's the factor. When we get into the Word of God, the Word of God gets into us. When we get into the Word of God, God's Word gets into us. And when we have God's Word into us, we automatically live by the principles of God's Word. It's not rocket science. When God's Word's inside of us, we live by the principles of God's Word. And when a situation comes our way, the Word of God automatically comes into our mind and our heart. This is what God said about it. Or we remember a story in God's Word and it relates to where we are in our life and we say, that's exactly what God meant. God don't have to tell you what pair of socks to wear every morning. Hello? Now, there may be some morning he tells you to get up and put on a certain pair of socks. And if he does, you better do it. But he ain't always going to tell you what pair of socks to put on. But when we are walking in God's Word, and God's Word is in us, we are living by the principles of God's Word. Therefore, we do what God's Word says. And the revelation of God comes into our life of what God's will is for us. Hello? There's often times when I'm trying to fix a part on the lawnmower, or I'm trying to fix something, I'll go to YouTube and I'll try to figure out what. And if I read more than two or three, I am more confused than if I'd have just tore the thing apart and figured that out myself. Some of you are grinning real big and hang in, hallelujah. That's why I said a while ago, not everything is black and white. Not everything is good or bad. And there's good things and bad things can be put in front of you. And we don't need to accept everything that comes our way. Because not everything's God's plan for our life. Hello? I love Twinkies. And when I go to Walmart, there's a whole shelf of them. But just because there's a whole shelf there don't mean I need to buy them all. Or any, as far as that matters. You understand what I'm saying? We got to listen to God's Word. We got to be in God's Word. It's not just enough to hear it. We've got to be in it. Don't just take my word for it. Go home and get into the Scriptures and dig and read. I'm here to tell you today, church, you need to evaluate how much time you spend on the internet and how much time you're spending on TV. And you need to give God at least that much time. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Oh, you don't know how spiritual YouTube is. You just don't know how spiritual. I'm afraid I do know how spiritual. Sad part about it is we give the world a lot more time than we give God. We have got to start giving time to God. Especially in this hour that we're living in, we've got to give God time. We must apply the biblical principles to our lives in our everyday life. And can I tell you again, church, when we get God's Word inside, we're going to live by those principles. It's just as simple as that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we struggle with all the will things. My thing, God's thing. And it's mostly because we're exhausted. And what we're hearing God tell us to do is not what we want to do. We want to listen.
listen to others instead of opening up God's Word. You know what the problem is? I'm struggling standing in front of the camera this morning. You know what the problem is in that aspect? When we listen to someone else, we feel like they've done the research for us. And it's an easy way out. Oh, man, that sounds good. Praise God. He hit the nail on the head. Just exactly what I need. I can go buy me an ice cream cone now. It's when we open up God's Word and we begin to read and study God's Word, we have to deal with us.
Yes.
We've got to deal with where we're at. It's not anybody else, but it's me and God. Can I tell you, church, if you really want to find the will of God, get in the Word of God and let God speak to your heart. It's just you and God. And God's gracious. He's going to send more grace. He's going to help you to understand. He's going to help. Well, Pastor, I don't understand what God's trying to say. Get in the Word. Just get in the Word. When we want to listen to everybody else instead of get in the Word, we don't have to deal with us and our stuff. But hearing from God brings complete hope and revelation and a go ye like you've never experienced before. We must apply God's Word to our heart and our life in every aspect, in every sense of the word, that we might find His will. There's never been a time that's more important that we find God's will for our life. Hello? I'm here to tell you, you better find it. You better find it. Your pastors may not always be here. Your Sunday school teachers and your board members may not always be here. I ain't planning on leaving right now. But neither was Brother Johnson. And his Monday morning was coronation day after his preaching. You say, are you afraid to die? I'm a bit afraid to die. I don't want to leave my family, but I got the best thing coming when I do die. We need to understand that death is not the final hoopla. It's only the beginning for the child of God. It's only the beginning for the child of God. We must be prepared to deal with where we're at right now. And the only way to do that is to get in the Word and find God's Word. We need to lift up one another, not tear each other down. We need to build each other up in the things of God, not destroy them. Our life is so critical. It is like a glass that's just waiting to be shattered. Life is that way right now, but God is a mender of all things. Like the song we sung this morning, he's a heart mender. He takes away the pain. He compensates anything that the devil throws at you, and he has a plan and a desire and a good future for you if you'll just trust him. Just trust him. I love this passage of Scripture. You need to find this and make it everyday reading. Psalms chapter 19. Begin at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Where's my shouters? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Just getting the flesh under subjection to seek God. The statutes, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the hearts. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clear, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
I had a mama come to me, and perhaps I know I've told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I had a mama come to me when I was chaplain at Washington Regional, and her son had tried to take his own life. And as a matter of fact, before it was over, he did extinguish his life. But his mama come to me and said, I want to ask you a question. Said, because my son took his own life, is he going to go to heaven or is he going to go to hell? I looked at her with every fiber within me, knowing that the answer that I give her is going to either devastate her or comfort her. And I cannot tell you today where that young man is in eternity, but I can tell you, as I told his mama, God knows best and he will do what's right. And every circumstance in your life, God will do what's right. Just because you're confused does not mean that God's confused. Just because you're bewildered does not mean that God's bewildered. Just because you're searching through the cabinet for a Zantac does not mean God is. He's got this thing. I said, he's got this thing. Hallelujah. Okay. You ready for this? I love this. The reason Daniel and Joseph could interpret dreams that no one else could is because they was walking in the Spirit and in the Holy Word of God. There's people that need revelation. And the only way that they're going to get it, and yes, I agree. I totally agree. God does give certain people certain revelations for certain individuals. But why ain't we the ones getting the revelation straight from God instead of trying to get them from somebody else? Just drop that in there. The reason Daniel and Joseph could interpret dreams that no one else could is because they was walking in the Spirit and in God's Word. Things, church, are revealed to us because God's Word is in us. That deserved a whole bunch of amens. I said, things are revealed to us because God's Word is in us. I went from 0 to 3. God's Word is revealed to us because God's Word is in us. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Pastor Mike. King David said, I hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Luke 12, 11 and 12 said, and when they bring you up into the synagogues and into the magistrates and the powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. There's never more an important time. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to be praying and seeking God with everything that's within you to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you haven't spoken tongues a while, you need to pray through till you speak in tongues under the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, church, I'm here to tell you today, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, I will give you power, and he will endue you with that power. That's the dynamo power. He said, I will give to you because I go to my Heavenly Father. Amen. You need it. You need it. It's imperative. You need it. When God's Word is in us, it will come out of us. He explained it as a river of living water that bubbles up out of us. Brings to our remembrance and directs us by the Holy Ghost. Listen, church, God does give direct words. I've said that 2 or 3 times already, but I had my notes here, so I thought I'd say it again. But we must be filled with the Holy Ghost to walk in His Word. David said, God's Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What he was saying is when we memorize God's Word and we study the stories in the Scriptures, we'll start walking, talking, and thinking God's Word. best way to know God's will is to know God's word. The best way to know God's will is to know God's word. Are y'all Pentecost here today? When a situation comes up in our lives, the Holy Ghost will remind you what the Scriptures tells you concerning your circumstances, and you will know God's will. I'm almost finished. All I lack is closing. Got something really important that I want to tell you in closing. We have looked at two different circumstances that keep us from knowing and walking in the will of God. And one of them is we want our will, and the other one is we've lost our will. We want our will. We're like a little baby with a rattler, and we're laying on the floor kicking and screaming and snorting and hollering and shaking our rattler because we want our will, and the other one, we've just gave up. We've lost our will. But I want us to look at another cause. And maybe with what I've already said, there's some factors there that we need to examine in our lives. God called us to be a lively church. God called us to be an ER. There's people that's sick, there's people that's lost, there's people that's hurting, there's people that need an answer, and we've got the answer, but we've got to get in the Word. And there may be, the cause may be we're not getting clarity from God because we want our will, and the other one, we may just lost our will. But here's another key that I want us to look at. We're not where we need to be in respect to God's will, because we have failed to realize really who God is. Brother Chris's lesson Wednesday night. And by the way, if you're not coming on Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. A blessing. Well, you know what they're saying about COVID, and don't be exposed. Hey, Walmart's open. We're open. Don't tell me that and then go down to Walmart four times a week. No. Devil's lying to you. You need to be in God's house. More than ever before, we need to be praying. Well, Pastor, that's just your opinion. No, that's God's opinion. He said, as you see the day approaching. So, Brother Chris's lesson Wednesday night got me thinking about some stuff. And actually, when I was preparing this message, I wasn't thinking about that, but God began to reveal and bring back to my mind what he was saying, and I believe it's going to give us a reality check. Brother Christian, you may want to go ahead and go to the pen and give us some of that black music. You know, we may really need this right here. Hey, I'd love for our church to be half full of black people. Amen. They are important.
Yes,
but so are you.
That's right. Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Boy, you got awful quiet. You didn't want to be recorded. Say an amen to that one. God says all lives matter. Maybe nothing pleased me anymore to be 50, 60, 70, 100 black people worshiping God. I love when I go somewhere than the folks are there worshiping and praising God. Woo! Come on, preacher! Hallelujah! Some of you folks need to get some of that in your soul, in your spirit. Okay, so one more. I've still got 20 minutes before chicken gets cold. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and David and all his house of Israel played before the Lord of all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. That timbrels mean tambourines, Brother Chris. And when they came to Naash's thrashing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it, and the ox shook, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died of the ark of God. This was brought out Wednesday night, but I want to bring it out Sunday morning because several of you wasn't here. But we often think God was really, really tough on Uzzah because he struck him dead just because he was trying to steady the ark. And we in fact David did. David was pretty
pretty upset at God. And he put it in another guy's house. He said, man, how can we take the presence of God to Jerusalem when God does something like this? And we don't always understand what God's doing and what he's up to. But there was a plan, there was a purpose. And number one, you know, we can justify it by saying that they wasn't supposed to be carrying it anyway. It was supposed to be on a cart. Or they put it on a cart. It was supposed to be carried by the priest on staves on either side. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart. Hello? But they put it on a card. They thought they knew better than God. Okay, I want you to listen to this revelation. When the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, was headed back to Jerusalem, they put the Ark of God out of the country of the Philistines in Abinadab's house. Okay? They went as far as they could go. They put it in Abinadab's house. You know how come they put it into Abinadab's house? You'll read the scriptures. His three boys, specifically his oldest, was to guard and protect it. Child of God, the Holy Spirit, God's presence is inside of you, and you have been commissioned to guard and protect it. The other thing, it had been in Abinadab's house for 20 years before David said, it's time we go get it and bring it home to Jerusalem. We've got to get it in its proper place. Hello. We've got to get it in its proper place. But I want you to know, it had been in Abinadab's house for 20 years. His three boys, Eliezer, Aho, and Uzzah had been living in their daddy's house with the Ark of the Covenant sitting there to protect it for 20 years. They knew what that Ark Covenant represented. They knew it represented the presence of God. They knew that how it was to be handled and what it was to happen. They knew, but it became familiar with them, and it was no more than a piece of furniture. And that's exactly where we are in the house of God. We come to God's house. We do what we know to do, but it's nothing more than a piece of furniture. We thank God and we praise God, but our hearts are far from it. We are not connecting with God only with our hands. Come on, church, listen to me. We've got to connect with our heart to the presence of God, where He can tell us and show us His will. If I ever got a revelation from God myself, it's in that scripture. We have allowed the presence of God to become nothing more than an object. If Uzzah had realized the value of that ark, he would have never touched it. But he was around it so long that it was just a piece of familiarity. It was just another piece of furniture. Church, we have become so familiar with the things of God. Listen, I can remember when I was a kid that when you come to the house of God, you better get prayed through. The anointing and the conviction of God get a hold of you. To where before you left that house, you was crying and weeping and slinging snot and finding Kleenexes to get a hold of God. Because you knew in an instant of time. Hey, listen, what I was talking about a while ago, we don't realize the awesomeness of God and His presence and His Spirit. It's become nothing more than a piece of furniture. And we just want to rubbish that piece of furniture. And I'm here to tell you it's so much more. It's the presence of the Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You all may think I'm crazy. You may think I'm radical. So just go ahead and think it, because I is what I is. I'm here to tell you today, it's time that we connect with the presence and the power of God. It's time that we quit just going through the motions and just recognizing God and just being God. But it's time that we connect. He said that He had made a way. When He comes back from the pits of hell, of the throne room, of the curse,
curtain in that throne room that kept the people from going into the holies of holies was ripped from top to bottom and destroyed. And now you and I can walk into the holies of Almighty God, and we can relish and we can thank Him for it. We can worship Him because He is God. God represented. He represents the presence of God. They desired to get the presence of God back into Jerusalem where it belongs. But you got to do it the right way. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. Excuse me. 2 Samuel 6 and 7 says, "And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." If you look into when King Solomon, David wasn't allowed to build a permanent temple. And even though that temple's been destroyed, I seen some news the other day to where it's getting time for them to build that third temple. Glory, glory, glory. You know what that means? Getting ready for the king to return. Hallelujah. Hey, I just want you to know that they gotta get the, you gotta get the ark, the presence of God, in the proper place and in the proper way. So I ask you today, do we have God's presence in the right place? Do we come to His house out of habit? Or do we have the reverential fear of Almighty God? Are we going through the motions? Are we just tired and repetitious? We don't want to be, you know, we just don't want to get too excited. Have we lost our fight? Are you weary and depressed? You thought things would get better, but they haven't so far. To you, I just want to tell you to hang on, because the God I serve is more than enough. When those things saturate our life, we no longer seek His will. If we can't do it our way, we ain't doing it at all, and we're going to stick our head in the sand and we're just going to sleep through the storm. Can't stand the pressure. Can't stand the rejection. It's just too much. I'm here to tell you, God's going to renew the grace in your life to fight the good fight of faith. Church, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not just another piece of furniture. He's not just another piece of religious ideology. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In closing, I just got to read you these scriptures. God, apply them to our heart and our life. Isaiah 55 and 8 said, "For the thoughts are not my thoughts, are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." David said in Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, "When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which were set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." Isaiah chapter 6, verses number 1, starting at verse number 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. And with twain He covered His face, with twain they covered their feet, with twain they did fly. And one cried to the other, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Angels of heaven cease not to be silent, but cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Listen, if you're not into the shouting and the worshiping and the getting excited, then I tell you, if you're planning on going to heaven, you're planning on going to the wrong place, because it's a place of excitement. It's a place of joy. Would you stand with me all over the building today? I got one more verse of scripture, and you need to be standing. This is a God that I serve. He's not another piece of furniture. It is the Spirit of God that we entertain and we serve. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne." And verse number 5 said, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Verse number 8, "And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." Verse 10, "The 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created."